Standing, let's focus on the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. We're going to read verses 24 through 26. And while I'm at it, I want to surprisingly to Brother Rick Wagner say thank you. Amen. I want to thank you because he was one of the main reasons we're worshiping in this beautiful facility here tonight. And he, along with Jeremy Tyer, kept an eagle eye on everything that took place. Although Brother Wagner and his crew had more of a hands-on, literally building part of all of this construction. And he may not know that I know, but I want him to know that I know. Don't make me say that again. But I do know that so much of what was done was not even charged. So much of what was done was because this is my church and this is the way we're going to do it. And Carson Marshburn and his crew finishing the upstairs and all of that for the youth department, a lot of that was not budgeted. And I just told him, I said, we're just going to have to raise the money somehow, and God's going to have to, and you're going to have to do this and that and the other. And I rode with Brother Carson the other day to Brother Wagner's shop and helped him load timber and wood and all of that. And hundreds of dollars in value, no charge, no charge. And that's the way he has operated all the way through this job. And I just want to say thank you, Brother Rick. Thank you so much. Thank you. Amen. And the list grows on and on. Amen. That's why our dedication services are going to be divided into three parts. And we're going to appreciate, dedicate, and then we're going to celebrate. Praise God. Because so many of you, literally, if not all of you, have contributed so much to what has been done right here at 210 Landmark Place. We had to have two addresses. I guess when we build a third one, we'll have three. We got quite a campus going on out here. So when you hear 208, that's over there. This is 210. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. And so we have what we have because people giving, sharing, caring, sacrificing, and we just want to say thank you a million times. All right, Hebrews 10, 24 through 26. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. And then the Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Amen. And every now and then you got to preach about going to church. And unfortunately, you have to preach it to people that go to church. Because we, the people that need to hear it, guess where they're not. And so it's a good maintenance plan to talk to people that already go to church about going to church. I told someone not long ago I'd rather spray for termites than build a new house. I'd rather change the oil than the engine. And so we're going to talk about it a little while tonight. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. I don't understand this trying to find a reason why to only have church one time a week. It's on signs everywhere in different persuasions of religion. It's just services, Sunday a.m., 10 o'clock. And the Bible says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more. In other words, we ought to have more church toward the end. as you see the day approaching. And the day is approaching. How many of you have seen what this storm has been capable of? Have you seen where it was able to suck up all of the water from the bay? Different air, as far as you could see. And I just kind of chuckled and I said to myself, and scientific minds think that it didn't happen for Moses. And here it is happening right before our eyes in a greater way. Wow. So the Lord is trying to show the signs of the end times. And so here we are. And one thing that we should not forsake, and that is the assembling of ourselves together. And so much to more as we see the day approaching. Maybe you can share this with somebody that's gone a little bit slack. But if you do, be very nice about it. Do it in love, like we will endeavor to do tonight. Praise God. And so we're going to talk about, here's my subject. We're going to talk about the last chance. The last chance. Praise God. Now, don't be fearful, because it may not go the way you're thinking it's going to go. So stay with me tonight. Praise the Lord as we talk about the last chance. Would you help me pray? We need God's anointing all over this house. While I'm talking about that, let me put a plug in for prayer before service. This is the way we pray before service is so totally different than what we have done for years. And so, but don't let that blow you away. And please, I'm literally begging you, do not forsake the honor and the opportunity to pray before service. So find you a place, whether it be walking up and down the side of the aisles or in a place, but do definitely find you a place. Lock in with God for about 15 or 20 minutes before service. Get a hold of the Lord, and let's have greater church than we've ever had before, because that affects the service. Somebody please say amen. Amen. All right. Praise God. And so, God bless you. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. The last chance. What an honor. What an opportunity. This is the greatest church in America to me. Hallelujah. And I love this church. Praise the Lord. This church was born in the fire, and it has stood the test of time. Praise God. We need the influence of this house. We need the spirit, the presence of this house. Amen? Hallelujah. We need, let me just, did I give you guys Psalms 23? I didn't give it to you, and that's fine. But I want us to look at it, and I want us to read that, because it's a very familiar portion of Scripture, but I'd like for you to see it once again here tonight. I may not get done with all of my notes, but here we go. The Lord is my shepherd. Everybody say, my shepherd. A shepherd leads, a shepherd guides. And then it said, I shall not want. I don't need anything if the Lord is truly my shepherd. He'll provide for me. That's what that means. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Amen. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod, thy staff, they comfort me. Look at all this stuff. Amen. Thou preparest a table, rod, staff, table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head, rods, tables, food, oil, anointing, my cup, drink, something refreshing runneth over all the time. Amen. That surely goodness and mercy. Wow, now I got a couple of angels hanging out with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord for a little while. Until the Lord gives me that blessing. Until I make better income. Until I find friends out there that are not in here. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Somebody please read this with me out loud. Forever. Make that commitment to the Lord that you will commit yourself to his house forever. And all of these benefits that he listed in Psalms 23 will be yours, and they will be mine. Amen. We need the house of God. There's nowhere in the Word of God where it says all you need is your recliner and your television evangelist. Amen. All right. Praise God. And so we need this. And this is the only thing standing that Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There's a whole lot of hell on the way. Amen. If you'll read your Bible, you'll find out there's a lot of tribulation and trouble on the way to this world. And we're beginning to feel the winds of it as I speak. Now, the church is your permanent storm shelter until the rapture takes place. I'll tell you something else the church is. Listen, the church is our third mother. Now, I don't know a lot about baseball, but I do know three strikes and you're out. Am I right? All right. Well, the first mother was Eve, and did she not strike out? The second mother was Jerusalem when Jesus sat outside the city and said, Jerusalem, mother of us all. He said, Jerusalem was the mother of us all. And he said, how often I would have gathered you like a hen gathereth her brood. I would have protected you, kept you, would have led you, given you guidance, anointing, everything you needed whenever you needed it. But Jerusalem struck out. And now there's so much preaching because it's true that the church is the bride of Christ. Well, if the church is the bride of Christ, then the church is the mother of the saints. And we got one more chance. If I could say it like this, I would say the world has one last chance before a complete strikeout. And that is the church. And I love the fact that the Lord said that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so there will be a church. I just need to make sure that I am in that church that the gates of hell will not prevail against. Can you say amen? Praise God. And so new life gives way to opportunity. The opportunity is in the church. Praise God. Hallelujah. It's got to be here for the next generation. She must not lose her message. She must not lose her identity. She must not lose her power, her praise, or her purpose. And all of those are born from prayer. Praise God. She must not lose revival, evangelism, growth, and the preservation of holiness. Amen. The church is predestined. The church is going to make it. So we need to get in this house because the church is the last chance. Praise God. This is the Alpha and the Omega church. This thing began on the day of Pentecost, and it will not close the doors until the rapture takes place. Amen. I will never shut the doors to anybody in this church. It's much like the ark was with Noah. Noah did not shut the door, but God did. There will come a time when repentance will be over. The seeking, the altars, and Holy Ghost outpourings and baptisms and all of this will be. Listen, don't you watch Hollywood and get your Bible information, because Hollywood does not know one thing about the Bible. What Hollywood knows about is drama. What Hollywood knows about is horror. And what Hollywood knows about is something illicit a long way from the truth. If you want the truth, find the house of God, bury yourself in it, and don't leave it until you've got it and the Lord calls us home. Because it is the world's last chance. Praise God. Amen. So we can't lose all of that. Praise God. The prodigal son left home. Notice the family did not go with him. But when he came back home, it was just as it was when he left. Don't get mad if the church doesn't compromise with you and follow you into the world. Somebody has to be minding the store when you decide to get real, get right, and get back with God. I wish everybody could clap your hands. Why do you say that, preacher? I say that because Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord thy God, and I change not. Amen. We're not going to change him because we decided to. We're not going to change him because religion wants to change him. We don't change him, period. He changes us. And thank God for that. Amen. Praise God. Amen. One thing that is forever, and that is the latter rain. Listen, the former rain and the latter rain have something in common in that it is the same rain. It's not a new religion that's going to come in the latter days and sweep us off of our feet and we're going to have a greater move of God than they did in the beginning. It's going to be absolutely nothing new. It will simply just be more of it. In other words, it's like he's saying, if you think the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, you wait till the end time. And ladies and gentlemen, it is already happening. The first day of Pentecost, 120. But any given day around the world, with the United Pentecostal Church alone, there are literally thousands of people that receive the Holy Ghost. So we are in that latter rain revival. Praise God. Somebody says, I can't find my place in this world. Well, your place in this world is in the church. Praise God. Amen. And so we understand that they stripped Jesus at his crucifixion. But I'm telling you, Jesus stripped Satan when that first tongue talker came staggering out of that upper room on the day of Pentecost. Because once an individual received the Holy Ghost, they received the same spirit that overcame Satan the first time. And so you and I have that ability. Praise God. The church is the last chance. Praise God. I like that song that says, in this house, there is hope. In this house, there's salvation for your soul. I love that. Praise God. It's the light. The church is the light in the night. Am I right? It's the city of refuge. It's the king's palace on this earth. The church is my rite of passage to the throne of God. I was broken and fixed at the very same time in the church. When the eastern sky peels back like a tin can and the Lord bids us to come home, he's not coming after just anything. Guess what he's coming after? He's coming after the church. I want to be a part of the church that the Lord is coming after. If you want in the kingdom, then let's get in the church. Let me tell you what the church is not. The church is not a flea market. Things aren't going cheap around here. Salvation is free, but it did not come cheap. Amen? The church is not a social club. It's not a quick fix, then quick coming center. It's where the kingdom gives new birth and the children are nursed at his side. Before you go off about the church and how insignificant and not needed that it is, let me tell you right now that it's the church where you find access to success. Praise God. Proverbs 11:25 said, the liberal soul shall be made fat. Praise God. The liberal soul is in the church. Amen. It's in the church. That liberal soul is in the church way more than just the Sunday special. Praise God. You don't have to worry about becoming too fat. We've got a Weight Watchers program. Look at Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. There it is. And the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Amen. Your soul will be fat. Your body will be healthy because you're going to run this race with patience. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So, where else can you get that? Right? The church is also one of the most dangerous places, especially when there's a great revival. When a church is in revival, such as the magnitude that many churches across America, including ours, is in, because we stand our ground with a made-up mind and a grit determination to have church growth, to have revival, but to do it in holiness and righteousness before God and not compromising the message. You see, we're not trying to build a crowd. We're trying to build Christians. Amen. And there's a huge, massive difference between all of that. And so we need to understand, praise God, the church can be a dangerous place. If you'll go back and read about Ananias and Sapphira, we won't go through all of that, but many of you have read it before. Read it again and understand that when they stood before the man of God, they didn't lie to just the man of God, but they lied to God himself. Jerusalem was in such a massive revival until the church was growing like crazy. And it was happening just like we would love to see it happen. And when these two came in the mix and began to lie before the man of God and lie to God, the Lord said, I cannot let two people that want to hold on to this world cause anything to happen to this revival. And literally, physically, they dropped dead in the very presence of God, right there in the house of God. Because they were standing in the most important place in the world, in the very presence of the most important God in this world. And the enemy tried to come in with a little leverage and cause a little bit of something to happen in this great revival that's happening in Jerusalem. And the Lord said, I can't let this happen. And they drug them out dead and lifeless corpses after that service. You hear what I'm saying? Amen. You say, well, I believe revival would just really take off and take place if we had some hypocrites to drop dead in the church like that. Well, be careful now. I will just simply say this, that a lot of things took place in the physical back then that take place in the spiritual right now. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. And so when you leave today, don't say that I did. But I will say this as a warning. People are still dropping dead in the very presence of God. What do you mean, Pastor? You can talk about prayer before service all you want to, and I'm not going to do it. You can talk about being faithful to the house of God and being here when I can, all you want to, but I am not going to do it. You can talk about giving, living, and loving, and all that juicy stuff that makes great Christians and builds great churches, all you want to. I'm not going to say anything against it. I'm just never going to do it. And if that is not a form of spiritual death, somebody tell me what is. I didn't mean to get so serious here tonight, but I do seriously want you to understand that the church is that vital. The church is that important. The church is our last chance. You say, well, I don't have to have church to have God. Show me that in the scripture. Show me that in the Word of God. But I can show you in the Scripture where the Scripture warns us to forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, but get yourselves together. You say, I can pray alone at home, and I hope you do, and I do. I want you to. You need to. I need to. We all need to. But there is something about when we come together as a corporate body. If we don't join together, we will never gather. And so that's why the devil wants individuals in the recliner. They want you laying on your couch, and they want you laying on your bed, propped up, eating pizza, watching your favorite evangelist. Because the devil knows if you ever get it together with a big crowd in the house of God, revival's going to break out all over this country, and God's going to bring more souls. More individuals are going to find God. Amen. It's not just about me. It's not just about me being comfortable with my God and doing my personal thing before God, and then that's all there is to it. That is not all there is to it. Amen. If I'm going to come to God, I got to find me a place to worship Him with my brother and with my sister, and we got to have revival. We've got to have an atmosphere where people can come in and find God and reach out to God. Where they can reach out to a brother, where they can reach out to a sister, where they can have confidence in one another, right? I want people to, when they walk out of this building, to say, whoa, now what was that? I don't know what that was, but I sure liked it, and I'll be back again. That's church. And we need the church. We have absolutely got to have the church. Am I right? Praise God. Hallelujah. And so the church... I don't want the church to be a dangerous place. We turn our back on the church. We turn our back on God. We turn our back on His presence. We turn our back on the Word of God that goes forth in the house of God. We're not telling the preacher, no, we're not doing that. We're telling God, no, we're not doing that. And again, that's a very dangerous place to be. Amen. God forbid that we ever do that. Amen. This is the place where the fishes and loaves are divided and handed out. This is where we obtain nutrients and nutrition. And this is where we grow strong and fervent in the house of God. Amen. So that we can take this wherever we are and share this with others. That's the ultimate purpose. Amen. Amen. Have you ever asked yourself why? Listen. The fishes and the loaves never did begin to divide until Jesus began to give it out. So it's not just about feeding me. And it's not just about feeding you. Amen. That little boy had enough food that he could have ate himself. And if he had the same spirit that some Christians may have today, then he would have just fed himself and not worried about anybody else. But it wasn't until he decided to sacrifice and give what he had that the Lord was able to break it and to give it out. And the more the Lord gave it out, the more there was. Amen. It was blessed. It was broken. And then it was given. Some of us have got to go beyond the blessing and allow the Lord to do some breaking. So He can give that. And when it comes all around, it's going to be so much more than you originally had until it'll blow your mind. My Bible says there were 12 baskets that remained. My philosophy is, apparently after He tried to feed all of that crowd, there was a bunch of folks that didn't eat. There's always going to be someone that just doesn't want to eat. They just don't. Just, preacher, hurry up and get done. I got places to be. I got somewhere to go. And I will. I'll hurry up. I'll get done. But in the process, as I broke bread, somebody ate. Somebody received it. Somebody believed it. And you're going to see somebody obtain things from the glory of God, from the house of God. Let's stand together. Amen. Amen. Praise God. The liberal soul, the giving, living it, and loving it soul. Amen. It started dividing when He started giving it out. Hallelujah. I don't want tons of leftovers here today because someone decided not to eat. Amen. Praise God. It is said that when the sun is blocked by the clouds, it can snow any month of the year at the Great Yellowstone National Park. Any month of the year, it doesn't matter if it's fall, spring, summer, whatever it may be. I want us to be careful not to block the S-O-N. Be careful not to block the sun. We don't need it to get cold in the church because this is all we've got. That's why when we serve, it's going to be hot and it's going to be salty because we want people to be thirsty. Praise God. I just want God to make me. The reason you come to this church is not the reason you stay. I love it when people leave and say, it felt so good in there. I'm going to come back because people love me there. People reach out to me and they talk to me. And I'm already making friends there, and I've only been there a few times. And they say things like, and I love that, but that will not be the reason you stay. In the Old Testament tabernacle, when you first went in, the sweet smell of incense, which represents the prayer of the saints. And that's why it's important to fill the sanctuary with the sweet smell of incense before service. That's what they smell. The incense was there to cover the sacrifice. Once you realize that it's not the incense that keeps you, it's the sacrifice, the continual giving of yourself and saying, not my will, but thy will be done. Here I am once again as the Paschal Lamb, ready to be sacrificed, ready to be given, ready to share and care and be anything you want me to be for the glory of God. That's what's going to keep you. You came because the Spirit drew you, but it's the doctrine that's going to keep you. It's the Word of God that's going to keep you. Where are we going to obtain the Word? How shall they know without a preacher? It's Bible. Amen. Everyone needs a pastor, and everyone needs a church. And I want the church to be one of the most important things in our lives. Is that okay? All right. Because it's the world's last chance. And we got work to do. And so, freely you've been given, freely give. Let's reach out to the Lord and ask God's help. Master, we love you. Holy Ghost, we lift you. Master, we praise you. Holy Ghost, we honor you.
Your holy presence.
You're mighty.
Living.
You're so powerful.
In me.
Lord, you are so wonderful. There's something I can feel in here that I cannot feel everywhere. There's something I obtain in here that I cannot obtain everywhere. Ask you, Master, to speak to every heart, every life, and every soul. Every individual challenging us, Lord, to make this our house. To make this our house. To make this our permanent place of worship. Our place of praise and honor, glory. Lord, when I'm sideways with my brother or my sister, when we're not seeing equally and we're not really together on the same page, I want you to know that will not deter the fact that I need to be in your house because you and I can be on the same page. And I don't want to be sideways with you. I don't want to be off with you. I want to be in your house. Somebody say in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for being in Bible study tonight. And I was looking so forward to sharing this with you because the Word of God is so important. I love the house of God. Right? It's the Word of God. It's important. God richly bless you as you're dismissed in Jesus' name. Shake someone's hand. Greet one another. All of our guests and visitors, make them welcome. Be safe. The roads are slippery.